With so much drama in the KG, it's kinda hard being mad, D-O-double-G, but somehow, some way, Cam comes to a party with a bottle of Henny. Hey, what's up, boys? It's football time, baby, and we are back. Damn, boys, it feels good to be back. We've been going on over 6 months of no football, and to be honest with you guys, I'm pretty excited to get this fantasy football season started. Looking forward to finally sitting down and watching some football and turning on some games that I know I should never watch, but I'm cheering on the Jets because I got a player on my team, or, you know, cheering on the Bengals because I got a player on my team. But thankfully, that's not this year. But we all know we have to sit down and watch some teams we really don't want to watch. And I'm just excited for some football, boys, and excited to be your host on this year's podcast. Cam the Man will be coming to you every week with some new guests, and we got some interesting questions to answer. Will the Cincinnati Bengal, Jordan, win a playoff game? He hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years and has only made one playoff appearance since he made the finals in 2016. Unfortunately, he did lose that game last year, but I'm rooting for you, Jordan, and I think, you know, maybe nobody else is, but I definitely am rooting for you this year, and I hope that you can turn it around and prove some people wrong and win a playoff game and maybe, just maybe, make the finals and win. Now, another question we got to ask ourselves is, are we going to let Reed go back-to-back? Now, nobody's done this since I did it in 2016, and I don't know if anybody's going to do it in the future or this year. It's a pretty tough feat. We got a lot tougher opponents since I did it back in 2016, and I'm just not sure if Reed has the team this year to go back-to-back. Now, I will dive a little more in depth later on and discuss his team and what I like and don't like, but I'm not quite sure if he's going to be able to go back-to-back this year, but we got a full year ahead of us to find out and see what kind of caliber team he has. And so I'm going to dive into some draft analysis here in just a moment, and just go into what I like and don't like about everybody's team this year, and then we'll talk about the matchups for week one, and also dive into some waiver wire and see who I like that is currently not on anybody's roster. All right, boys, let's dive right into some draft analysis, starting with Jordan. New year, new yards first. So when I'm looking at Jordan's team, Jordan, your strengths are your quarterback, your tight end, your wide receivers, and then Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is obviously in a category of his own. Kareem Hunt obviously has the potential to, PPR-wise, have great games, but he does share a backfield with Nick Chubb, who will get most of the first and second down runs. So my only concern is that Kareem Hunt will not get enough viable options or scoring potential. But obviously, if Cleveland has a great season, then he could be outstanding. But you definitely do not have a lot of RB depth, so that is going to be concerning as well. But Christian McCaffrey obviously will make up for a lot of that if he's healthy, because he will put up 20 to 30 points a week. Receiver-wise, Terry McLaurin and Justin Jefferson are great slot receivers and great receivers in general. My one concern is going to be quarterback play from both of them. Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick are borderline top 12 quarterbacks, probably not really in that range, more top 15. So consistency is going to be an issue with both of those quarterbacks, and I wonder if that will end up affecting how they play or their scoring potential this year. Tight end is also another strength. As I mentioned, Mark Andrews is definitely a top five play as long as Lamar Jackson can find him and is able to play this year. Obviously, Lamar's had some COVID issues, and he has digressed over the past year from his MVP status. But obviously, Lamar has the talent and the ability to find Mark Andrews, and I believe he's still going to be a top five tight end this year. So he's definitely still a strength. Flex and bench depth are really your biggest weaknesses. Ja'Marr Chase obviously can have a great season this year if Joe Burrow is healthy and the offensive line can block for him for longer than 5 seconds. But he's a little rusty. He hasn't played since 2019, where he was the Biletnikoff winner. But obviously, he's already got chemistry with Burrow. And then if he's the third option on that team, that's definitely a very solid spot for him with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd there. So I think he does have the potential to really bust onto the scene. But obviously, he's still got to prove that. And it's probably going to be a couple weeks before we really see him come onto the scene if he does this year. Bench depth, like I said, is also one of your weaknesses. I really don't like Melvin Gordon. I don't like the committee system. I don't like the fact that Javonte Williams is there. I think eventually they are going to start shifting toward him. So that is a concern. DJ Chark obviously has the potential to be great, but I worry that Trevor Lawrence is going to be looking for Laviska Shenault or other people instead of him this year. Henry Ruggs is obviously the number one option in Las Vegas, but has he made enough strides this year to be more than just a deep threat? Michael Carter currently is listed as the fourth running back on the New York Jets, so I really don't see him being viable potentially until like week 9 or 10. So that's kind of an issue. And then AJ Green is borderline, maybe shouldn't even be on your bench. I know that you love him because he was a Bengal, but I really don't see him being more than kind of Larry Fitzgerald for the last couple years, where he has like 3 touchdowns and 500 yards. So I do expect you to probably end up releasing him from your roster at some point. But those are really the main weaknesses you have. But overall, you've got a pretty solid team. Anytime you've got Christian McCaffrey, you're already scoring big points with that. If I was doing an overall grade of your team, I would give it a B-. You do have some weaknesses that we need to see how they unfold. But with MCC and Russell Wilson and then some solid receivers, I think that really pulls you up to at least a B-, where you should end up with about 6 to 7 wins this year if I was projecting, which will definitely put you in playoff contention. So good luck, Jordan, and that's my analysis for your team. Next, we're going to move on to Carter's team, a.k.a. Wayne's dad. Not sure if that's going to change this year or not. But Carter, you've got a pretty solid team this year. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end are your biggest strengths this year. Obviously, Dak Prescott is a beast when he's healthy. He was, you know, in the range of putting up 400 to 500 yards a game last year with plenty of touchdowns. The talent that surrounds him is ridiculous on offense. The defense, as far as I know, is still trash, so they will be scoring a lot of points to keep up. So I really think his ceiling is high. The only concern is he going to be able to stay healthy? Obviously, when you get injured and coming back the next season, there's always the risk that you can re-injure or get injured again, which is really the same issue that I have with Saquon. He's missed big portions of the last 2 seasons with injuries. So really, we have to question whether or not he can stay healthy. But obviously, the talent and the ability to just go insane week to week is pretty high. His rookie season, he was a top 3 running back fantasy-wise. So the talent and the potential is there. But we'll just have to see if he can stay healthy. Chris Carson makes your running back duo even better. But obviously, there's health concerns there. I don't think he's started a full 16-game slate like the last 2 to 3 years, which is a major concern as far as is he going to be available down the road when you need him, or if you're needing to get into the playoffs or make a playoff push, is he going to be available? That is the biggest concern for me. Your wide receivers are solid. Amari Cooper, obviously, is a steal. When he's healthy, he's one of the best. And when he had Dak, he was putting up great numbers, wide receiver 1 numbers last year. DeAndre Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins. I don't even have to say much more than that. he's a stud, and he's going to be the number one target in Arizona, and he has the potential to, you know, score touchdowns and get plenty of yards this year. My main concern with him is if he remains unvaccinated like he says he's going to, will that end up costing you some games because he's out with COVID? Darren Waller, obviously your keeper, is a steal. Being able to get him at third round price is amazing, and I definitely think he'll still be a top five tight end this year. He's the number one target in Las Vegas, so I think he's bound to put up, you know, 1,200 yards with six touchdowns at least this year. Really, my main concerns or weaknesses for your team are going to be your flex. Mike Davis, obviously, is a starting running back in Atlanta right now. My biggest issue with him is how long will that last? And having used him in a league last year, he really was hit and miss depending on the defenses. He really struggled at times. So I'm wondering, is he going to struggle to really get yardage after, you know, after contact, or really get those yardages against teams with solid defenses? Or will Arthur Smith start rotating a committee in if he's not productive enough in those first couple weeks? So really, I'm not sure how well Mike Davis will play out. Obviously, anytime he's a starting RB, that's a good spot to have him in as your flex. But I have concerns over, you know, how long he'll last there, or if they'll switch to a committee. Really, my other concerns are definitely your injuries. You've definitely got a lot of players who are injury prone. Michael Thomas, Jalen Waddle, Sony Michel's even injury prone. Obviously, the ones I talked about, Saquon and Dak. So really, I mean, you have a pretty loaded roster with great bench depth. But are they going to be able to stay healthy is really the main concern I have for your team. If they can, you're definitely looking at a, you know, 9-10 win season this year. But like I said, it's definitely going to be injuries that determine how well you do this year. But if I'm giving you a grade, I'm definitely going to give you an A- this year. You've got a loaded bench with great depth. Michael Thomas obviously is a sneaky pick who can come back and throw up wide receiver one numbers with Jameis back there once he gets healthy. So this team has definitely got some great talent and great roster capabilities. And I look forward to seeing what they can do and if it can stay healthy. And I definitely think you got a great potential to win it all this year, which has been elusive for you. But you definitely got a solid team this year, Carter. And moving on to the next team on my list, let's go with Mr. Big Johnson, Wayne. Wayne, I like strengths-wise your running backs, your wide receivers, your flex, and your quarterback. Obviously, Rodgers is Rodgers. He's got the talent there with Devontae Adams. I think really nobody's talking about it, but Amari Rodgers from Clemson is going to be a solid slot receiver, even though they did bring back Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb has huge history with injuries, so I really don't see him playing the entire season. So I really do see him having a big role. And Rodgers has been looking for, and one of the reasons he's upset with Green Bay is because they haven't surrounded him with receivers that are capable, and they haven't really helped him out in that way. So I think he's going to end up loving Amari Rodgers this year. And I don't think he'll have an MVP season like he did last year, but he's still going to put up fantastic numbers for you and be a top five quarterback in fantasy. Running back wise, love Dalvin Cook. I mean, you can't complain about Dalvin Cook. He has had injury concerns in the past, and I don't think he's played an entire season over the last 3 to 4 years since he got in the league. So that is a concern. Will he be able to sustain and stay healthy? Clyde Edwards, I definitely see a bounce back here if he's healthy. So definitely a solid RB2 this year. And anytime you got a player on the Chiefs offense, you're already doing well. Wide receiver-wise, DK is always underrated. Robert Woods is an underrated receiver. Definitely got a better quarterback this year with Matthew Stafford. So I think they're definitely going to be wide receiver 1-2 range. So I think you've got great receivers this year. And then your flex, anytime you've got Thielen at flex, I think you're winning. That's definitely a great flex player. And you've definitely got some great bench depth to switch in and out with flex if you want to. Gaskin is solid. I don't know if he'll survive the entire season or if they'll end up switching midway, but you've still got Deebo Samuel and Chase Claypool to put in there. So I definitely think your flex is definitely one of the stronger parts. One of my biggest concerns or the biggest weakness I see is definitely your tight end. Obviously, Goddard is supposed to be the number one tight end in Philly this year. Ertz is still there, despite all the rumors that he would get traded to like Arizona. He is still there, so he will be taking touches away. And then really, how productive can Jalen Hurts be this year is going to be a really big question, just because we haven't really seen him play a full season. So that is a big question mark. He does have the potential to have tight end one upside, but I'm going to say right now he's probably looking at a tight end two range, just outside of probably the top 10 tight ends. Until we can see more from Philly this year, that's the best I can do for it. You have great bench depth, like I mentioned. If I'm giving your team a grade, I'm definitely going to give it a B+. I think you've got some solid talent all around. Tight end is always a struggle position. If you do not get the top, you know, 3 to 4 tight ends, which are obviously Kelce, Kittle, Waller, and probably Mark Andrews this year, it's going to be tough. So that's really my one spot where I'm kind of concerned for you, like I said earlier. But you've got great depth and you've got great position players everywhere else. So I definitely give you a B+, and I definitely see you, if you can stay healthy everywhere, having, you know, an 8 to 9 win season this year and definitely contending for the playoffs, obviously, if you can stay healthy. Moving on, we will move on to Cameron or Mad Dog or Killa Cam. We will see what we got here, Cam. I definitely love strength-wise your RB, your flex, and your bench this year. Now, your RBs with Antonio Gibson, Zeke are very solid. Zeke is obviously a stud, and you know what you get with Zeke as long as the Cowboys are healthy. He did obviously slip last year and fall back once Dak was out and they really had nothing to do on offense or couldn't really move the ball on offense. So if he's healthy, Dak, then obviously Zeke is RB1 and probably a top 5 running back this year. Gibson is going to be really a question mark this year. The talent is there. I do think Washington is a little overrated this year as far as people are hyping them up a little more than they probably need to right now. But obviously the talent is there and the ability for him to go out and put up RB1 numbers is definitely there. He's got the talent. He was a running back turned wide receiver. My bad. A wide receiver turned running back. So he doesn't have a whole lot of experience in that position, but obviously he flashed his speed and potential last year plenty. So I think he is going to probably take over the volume share. And with Fitzpatrick, you don't have to worry about McKissick as much taking those dink and ducks from Alex Smith, who liked to throw like 5 yards, and so did Kyle Allen. So I definitely think he's going to have a much improved season this year and definitely vie for RB1, but definitely a solid RB2 if not. And then your bench for sure is solid this year. The fact that you've got Swift, T. Higgins, Juju on your bench already says enough for me. Dylan is a solid backup that you can throw in. Justin Fields obviously is like a gamble and you're just picking him up to see if potentially you can use him later on. But your bench is awesome. And then your flex, James Robinson, I think is probably going to go down as one of the steals of the draft this year. He's definitely, you know, going to have a much improved offense. And that's, you know, that's amazing because they had a terrible offense last year and he still put up top 5 top 10 fantasy numbers for RB as an undrafted rookie, which is absolutely insane on a team that had 2 wins last year. So definitely think that's going to be a steal of the draft. Your weaknesses for me are probably going to be your tight end and your quarterback. Mike Gesicki has the potential to really have great weeks. Really, it's going to be volume. There's a lot of people to spread the ball to in Miami, especially with Waddle getting there. You still got Devontae Parker. You've got the running backs, Miles Gaskin, and plenty of other guys are trying to get the ball to. And one of the issues with him last year was really how many receptions he got. He really was a touchdown or bust kind of guy. He really only caught about 2 to 3 balls a game, and you kind of hope that he would get in the end zone if he caught one of those. So really, that's one of my biggest concerns is your tight end. Are you going to be playing tight end roulette this entire year, which is never fun? I had to do that last year. So that's really one of your biggest weaknesses. Quarterback, obviously, is going to be really a gamble. Jalen Hurts has the potential to be great, and he's definitely got, you know, some great threats to throw to, especially adding the Heisman Devontae Smith from last year. But, you know, Philly right now, I have no idea if they're going to be good or even, you know, remotely capable of having an offense this year. So that's really my biggest concern. And we just haven't seen enough from Jalen Hurts for me to be sold yet on whether or not he's going to be a viable QB in the NFL. Your receivers really didn't show me as like a strength or weakness. I think that they're solid, but I don't really think it's a strength or a weakness for you. I'm kind of neutral on it. Lockett is obviously solid. He really did have big games that carried his stats last year. He really wasn't a very consistent receiver, so that's really one of my biggest concerns with him. And then, obviously, Julio is Julio, but he is in a new offense, you know, that utilizes a lot of run game and play action pass. Now, if he can stay healthy and the Titans are as good as on paper as we think they are, then I think he definitely can put up some solid wide receiver two numbers. But then again, Julio has really struggled with injuries and is already questionable going into week 1. So that's really going to be one of my concerns for your team this year. But like I said, obviously I'm neutral more on it. It's not really a huge weakness or a huge strength. And you've got Juju and T. Higgins that you can throw in there in case he gets injured. So like I said earlier, bench depth is great. So if I'm giving you a rating this year, Cam, I'm probably going to give you a C+. You've just got a little too many weaknesses this year and not enough solid for me to really be sold on you being a playoff team this year. Obviously, I do think that you have the potential to get to playoffs, but right now I think you're looking at about 5 to 6 wins with this team. I think you're really going to struggle to put up some points, but you know, you could prove me wrong and have one of the best teams this year. But I'm wishing you the best of luck, Cam, but I'm not really sure and I'm not sold on your team thus far, but you could have a very slept on team. So we'll have to wait and figure it out and see what happens. All right, moving on, strengths and weaknesses wise, we're going to move on to Joe, or Mr. Make It Hurts. We're finally off of Team Wentzylvania. Now that Wentz is gone, I guess Joe was forced to change his team name. But if I'm looking at your team, Joe, tight end, wide receiver, your bench, and your flex are by far your strengths. As far as strengths go, when we're looking at your receivers, A.J. Brown, Allen Robinson, and Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, Robbie Anderson, and Marquise Brown are all pretty solid receivers. So I really love your depth, and that kind of focuses in on your flex as well. With Chris Godwin at flex, it's actually pretty solid. I expect him to put up solid wide receiver 2, maybe even wide receiver 1 numbers, depending if he can stay healthy and how much Brady utilizes him more than Mike Evans. But like I said, you've got solid receivers, all number 1, number 2 receivers on their offenses. Your running backs are pretty solid this year. They're more of a neutral for me, though. Jonathan Taylor has the potential to be RB1. What concerns me is how long is Wentz going to be out? And then will that affect his numbers? And then, you know, the Colts don't really have a lot of wide receiver depth or options. So it kind of concerns me that they're going to start stacking the box and forcing Indy to throw, which would not be good for Jonathan Taylor. Chase Edmonds is a solid scat back. My worry is he's really not faced an entire season as a number one running back. And I really do see him as more of a J.D. McKissic or a Kareem Hunt style back. So my concern is that James Conner is really going to be a touchdown poacher for him and that he's really going to be reliant on his receptions and his yardage from pass rather than the run. But we'll really have to see what happens and if he can stay healthy, having to play more snaps this year than he has in the past. So that's why I'm kind of neutral on your running backs this year. I do think they have the potential to be pretty solid. But right now I'm kind of neutral. They're kind of in the middle. Tight end-wise, obviously that is a massive strength. Travis Kelce is probably going to finish one, if not two, this year as a tight end in fantasy. So I don't think you'll have to worry about ever switching him in or out. And with the Chiefs' offense, he's going to be a win no matter what. So that's definitely a huge strength of your team. And then really your weakness, Joe, is going to be quarterback play. Ryan Tannehill is a solid starter. I just am concerned with really, is he going to be consistent? He was definitely a solid play last year, but consistency-wise, I don't know if he'll be consistent enough to be in that top 5 to 8 range this year as a quarterback. So that's really going to be my main concern with him. But obviously, with the talent there that he's got, now adding Julio and Josh Reynolds as a third receiver, I think he has the potential to be a QB1 this year. But like I said, is still in the air, and he's somebody who has faced issues with injuries in the past, and he does have a new offensive coordinator. So that is one of the concerns as well I have for Ryan Tannehill. But like I said, the rest of your team is pretty solid or neutral. You got great bench depth, like I stated earlier, so I think that's by far a plus for your team. Joe, if I'm looking at your team, I'm probably going to give you a B-plus this year. Definitely got solid starters and solid bench depth, which I think is important for an entire season. So I definitely think you can vie for the playoffs this year if you don't trade off your team like you do most seasons. You know, you've got a lot of talent. I think you should ride out even if you end up losing 2 or 3 games to start. I think your team is going to definitely be solid this year. And I don't think you really will need to trade unless you have a bunch of injuries. So definitely stick it out and don't be early to trade this year, even though people are probably going to become, coming to really make trades and try and trade rape you, Joe. So definitely have the potential to win about 8 games this year, Joe. So I'm rooting for you and I'm hoping that, you know, team hurts. Or make it hurts can, you know, get back to the playoffs and make some noise this year, Joe. Moving forward, we're moving on to Ben's team. So Ben, who is currently Bobby Schmandela, I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not, but Mr. Bobby, you've got a pretty decent team this year. Your QB, your running backs and your flex are probably the most solid spots. What I would have to say now with J.K. Dobbins getting injured, that does kind of kill my earlier analysis I had of this team. David Montgomery was going to be a fantastic flex if you could keep Dobbins. Gus Edwards is not a bad play at flex. I just don't know if he's really as talented as J.K. Dobbins. So I think I'm going to stay neutral on your flex for right now with Gus Edwards and really wait to see how he plays into this offense. But definitely solid running back still with Montgomery and Jones. Montgomery's going to be playing kind of on a worse offense. So that would be partly my concern this year. But obviously he gets Minnesota and Detroit
four times this year. So he's definitely going to get at least 4 weeks where he's putting up 20 points or more. So he's definitely a solid RB2 this year. Jones definitely has the potential to put up RB1 numbers like he did last year. Kyler Murray is obviously a huge strength of your team. He's going to be a top five quarterback in fantasy, especially in our league where rushing touchdowns are worth six. That always pays off more. And anytime you got a rushing quarterback, it makes up a lot of ground and gives you the potential to put up 30-plus point QB weeks, which I definitely benefited from last year. So Kyler is definitely going to be solid this year. He's definitely one of your strengths. Wide receiver is definitely one of your strengths as well. More in the hidden potential of Brandon Ayuk. Tyreek is Tyreek, obviously, and then Mahomes' connection with him is solid. But it is strength, but neutral for me as well, just because Brandon Ayuk is so dependent on him being healthy. He showcased how talented and how much of a mismatch he can be when he's healthy, but he's already even got a questionable tag on him when I'm looking at him right now, which is a concern for me. And it's really going to be a concern of whether or not he can stay healthy this year and produce those wide receiver two or even wide receiver one numbers on San Francisco. Really, your biggest weakness this year is going to be tight end. When I look at your tight end, Noah Fant is definitely a solid tight end, but nobody to, be excited about. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the starting quarterback for Denver this year, but I'm still concerned that he's really going to be a week-to-week kind of guy, and I don't know how consistent and reliable he's going to be this year. So I worry that you'll be playing the roulette here for the tight ends, which, like I stated earlier, for Wayne is never fun and never something you want to do. But obviously, if you don't take a top tight end, those top four, like I stated earlier, Kelce, Kittle, Waller, or Andrews, you're really going to be stuck playing the tight end roulette. So we'll have to wait and see how well he does this year, if he can perform higher than what he has been. But definitely one of your weaknesses this year. Your bench depth has some hidden gems and potential this year. Javonte Williams, I think, is more than likely going to be a week 7 to 8 kind of guy. I don't think you're going to see much upside in these first half of the season, but I think right around midway, you're going to start seeing him really be thrust into that starting role. Devontae Smith is Devontae Smith, 2020 Heisman winner, super talented. Question is, how well can Jalen Hurts do, and can he, put him in a position to score a lot of points even as a rookie this year? Corey Davis, I think, is one of the steals of the draft. Number one option in New York. Big question is, obviously, is Zach Wilson good enough to put the ball in his hands? But I think that's definitely a steal and solid wide receiver. And I think Callaway was also a steal. Jameis Winston obviously loves to throw the ball deep. And with Michael Thomas probably missing the first 7 weeks, he's definitely going to be his number one option, as we saw in the preseason with in the Jacksonville game, where he absolutely put up some stud touchdowns and stud receptions. So definitely, I think, one of the steals of the draft, and kind of upset myself because I was thinking he would sneak into later rounds and I'd be able to get him. So definitely a steal, I think, in my book, and we'll have to see how that plays out this year. If I'm giving you a rating, Ben, I'm probably giving you, especially with the J.K. Dobbins injury, I'm probably going to have to move yours back to a B-. You've definitely got some solid players, but I definitely think it's going to be interesting to see how your team does and if they can stay healthy at certain positions. Win-wise, I think you're going to improve from last year where you were 4-9. So I definitely think you're going to be on that cusp of a 6 or 7 win season this year with this team. But only time will tell, obviously. So we'll have to wait and see. But, maybe Bobby Schmandela can pull some magic this year and rebound with a better year this year. So we'll have to see what happens. But I'm wishing you good luck, Ben. And maybe, you know, you can turn it around this year and not have a worse year. But moving on, we will move on to Mr. Austin, or Shannon, or Victim Blamer, you know, all those nicknames he goes by. Austin, when I'm looking at your team, one, you probably need to change your name this year. You know, not personal, but Team Biggest Boobs is probably, you know, run its course by now, so definitely something to consider. Your strengths and your weaknesses. If I'm looking at your team, your strengths are for sure going to be your running backs. Kamara and Eckler are solid. Kamara obviously is going to be the best player for the first 7 to 8 weeks on New Orleans. So I definitely think he's going to be putting up over 20 a week. Not even a question. Eckler and Kamara are both the exact same style back. Eckler has had issues with injury, especially last year when he was thrust into the starting role. So that's really my biggest concern for him. But obviously the talent is there for him to absolutely be insane. Wide receiver-wise, you've got great wide receivers. Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is a steal where you got him this year in the draft. Keenan Allen is Keenan Allen. Highly underrated, obviously, always puts up great numbers. And definitely has improved quarterback play over, you know, the last couple years. Phillip Rivers wasn't bad, but I think definitely Justin Herbert's an upgrade from Phillip Rivers as he was starting to get older. Your flex is for sure solid. Cooper Kupp is probably one of the more underrated receivers. And with Matthew Stafford coming in, I think he's going to be an absolute stud this year, putting up well over 1,000 yards if he can stay healthy. Weaknesses-wise, definitely going to be your tight end and your running back depth. Logan Thomas is a tight end 2 to 3 with tight end 1 upside for sure. He's definitely got the upside and potential. The only question is, you know, is he a one-off kind of guy? You know, we've seen tight ends where they have breakout seasons, and definitely that was him last year, and then follow it up with a complete dud. So that is my biggest concern, is that he's going to follow up last year with a dud. But, you know, obviously he has the potential and has a better quarterback in my eyes than he did last year throwing him the ball. So definitely some upside, but also, you know, he could be in for, you know, a worse season this year, but we'll have to wait and see. And then RB depth is a major concern, especially if for some reason you lose Eckler or Kamara. I'm really not sold on Williams or Lindsay, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And they are, you know, the potential to rotate in if you need them. But on bye weeks, I think you're definitely going to struggle if you have one of those guys out and you're forced to put either one of them in. Obviously, I like Kenny Golladay if he can stay healthy. Curtis Samuel is a steal if he can stay healthy. So definitely got some solid bench depth. I don't really like the running back depth you have. And then Herbert, I think I'm very neutral on Herbert this year. I think there's definitely going to be some regression to the mean. He's obviously a solid quarterback and showed, you know, how great he can be last year. But there usually ends up being some kind of regression to the mean. And I think he's due for that this year. So my only concern is that he's not going to put up the same kind of numbers he did last year. And that could end up costing you some games. But the potential for him and the offense he has is absolutely ridiculous and definitely can be a QB1 this year. So we'll just have to wait and see. If I'm giving your team a rating this year, I'm probably going to give you a B. I think, like I said, you've got some great talent on your team and the potential to win, you know, 8 games this year, 8 to 9 potentially. But your bench depth, mainly RB depth, is a little concerning. In case you have an injury or you need to rotate them in on bye weeks. And then your tight end is huge. It can make the difference between winning and losing every week. So depending on how Logan Thomas plays, that's really why I'm not sold on you being one of the top 2 teams this year. But obviously, you've got some talent on this team to really win 8 to 9 games and be a front runner for best record this year. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, Austin. And good luck this year, and hope you have a great year. But, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, let's move on to Reed's team. All right, Reed, the two-time champ. All right, Reed, I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at your team, and you got a pretty solid team again this year, which really pains me to say. But when I look at your team, Reed, your strengths are for sure going to be your QB, running back, and wide receiver this year. Josh Allen's Josh Allen. He's going to put up solid top three quarterback numbers this year if he can stay healthy and has, you know, the pieces around him to really throw together a great year. Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders. I really think that's a strong duo this year. Chubb obviously has some health concerns. Sanders has had health concerns in the past, so that really would be my main concern with your running backs. But they both have solid potential and both should have pretty solid RB1, potentially RB2 numbers this year. Wide receiver core, Stephon Diggs is going to have a great year. I really don't see him having that big of a regression. He did have a solid year last year and led the NFL in receiving yards and had pretty solid touchdown numbers. Obviously, when you have that kind of great season, there is the capability to kind of regress, but I still think he's going to be a solid wide receiver one this year. Mike Evans, I actually think, will have a better year this year than he had last year. He really was touchdown dependent last year, but I think he's really going to have a much better season this year with Tom Brady and him now having a full year of experience under their belts together. So I actually look for Mike Evans to have a solid turnaround season. He wasn't bad last year, but he was more on the fringe of 15 to 20 top receiver. But he obviously has the potential to be a top 10 receiver this year with that experience with Tom and just the capabilities that Mike Evans has to go deep and catch a lot of deep balls. Kyle Pitts, definitely more on the neutral on that. I really don't see it as a strength yet. Obviously, the talent is there. And the fact that Arthur Smith is the coach, I think, is a huge plus. Plus the fact that Julio Jones is gone, which leaves Matt Ryan with less targets to throw at Julio. And Kyle Pitts is an absolute monster. And Arthur Smith ran one of the highest percentage tight end schemes last year. Just look at what he did for Jonnu Smith last year, who was absolutely a nobody and had, you know, a good enough season to get paid by New England a whole crap ton of money, which I think he's not going to end up being worth. So I think he's definitely going to be a stud this year. I just don't know how long it will take him to show that. So I really think he's a fringe top five tight end this year. But as of right now, I think he's looking at more of a top 10 finish. But anytime you're in Atlanta, you know, you've got the potential to really put up some mega numbers just because Matt Ryan will throw the ball 40, 45 times a game and without a question. And I don't really think they have a running game this year, so definitely going to be throwing a lot of balls, and I think Kyle Pitts is definitely going to have quite a number of those. So definitely a fringe top five, but looking at more top 10 as we enter week one. Flex, solid. I'm not really sold on it yet. Raheem Mostert is obviously the potential there to be an RB1 if he's healthy. He, you know, started out last year with solid first and second weeks in the season. But then again, we have health concerns. So he's definitely one of those guys where if he can stay healthy, we'll have top, you know, running back two numbers this year. But like I said, injuries is the biggest issue. He has yet to play a full season, and I don't know if he will play a full season this year. So that's really one of my concerns, but obviously he has the capabilities of being a very solid flex. I don't think you have any weaknesses this year. You've got great bench depth. It's pretty solid. Now that I'm looking at it again, okay, it's got some talent there, but definitely some concerns with, you know, Ertz. Definitely has the potential, obviously, as we've seen in the past, to have a solid tight end one kind of campaign. But They have moved toward Dallas Goedert this year. Michael Pittman, now with T.Y. Hilton injured, definitely can have a solid. I would say he's more of a fringe wide receiver three flex kind of guy this year. But we'll have to wait and see really what the numbers show. David Johnson, me personally, I think he's a bum. And I think he's actually slipped all the way back to third on the depth chart, which is insane. Because he was, you know, at one point the number one drafted running back in leagues, and now he's slipped all the way back to can't even get on a starting roster for probably the worst or the second worst team this next year. Will Fuller and Laviska Shenault are by far your best two bench players. Will Fuller, obviously, once he's not suspended, definitely a solid player. And I think Trevor Lawrence, as I've watched the preseason, has a very solid relationship with Laviska Shenault. So I think he's actually going to be a borderline flex or wide receiver two this year. So I think that will be a very big shocker, or one that you don't really see coming this year. But Laviska Shenault is for sure a sleeper this year who has the potential to be a solid player. Reed, if I'm grading your team, honestly, I'm probably going to give it an A. You've got good players all the way down the board. Like I said, the flex could be the shaky spot with Mostert, and then really the bench depth. Who do you put in for Mostert if he gets injured? Shenault could be that guy, but you've definitely top to bottom got one of the best teams in the league. So I definitely think, per usual, you'll be competing for a top spot or the top spot in the league with a, you know, I want to say 9 to 10 win season. Yeah, I mean, you've got the potential to have 9 to 10 wins this year. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. Obviously, every team is dependent on people staying healthy. Otherwise, you know, you can obviously slip into a bad season. But solid group, and I'm really hoping that you don't win again, but you definitely got a solid team this year, Reed. Moving on, we've got Huseman. All right, Mr. Eagles trade block. Obviously trying to get Joe to trade with him. So he's done it before, and he'll probably try to do it again, Joe, if you're listening to this. Definitely, like I said, don't be trading your players before probably week 7. But obviously you can do whatever the hell you want. But he's definitely probably going to be trying to come after Kelce and probably end up giving you Hockenson and Robert Tonyan as a replacement, or with Daryl Henderson, and some reason he'll end up getting Kelce. But anyway, I go beyond what I'm trying to say. And strengths and weaknesses, Huseman, you've for sure got strengths at the quarterback position and wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I don't even need to say more than that. Last year, the only really concern I had with him, and I had him in one of my other leagues, was that he did have, you know, weeks where he had lower end weeks and then had explosive weeks other weeks. But there's no doubt in my mind he puts up over 20 each week this year, which if you can get over 20 points from a quarterback in fantasy each week is a win in my book. So we obviously know Patrick Mahomes, if he stays healthy, is top two quarterback in fantasy. So obviously that is a huge strength for you this year. Receiver is going to be another one of your strengths. Davante Adams, which really shook me that you took him so early, but we know how talented Davante Adams is, and was, you know, in the discussion for probably the best receiver last year in the NFL, if not the best receiver in the NFL. Had solid numbers. Health was an issue at, you know, at certain points in the season, but he was a stud. DJ Moore is very underrated, but I do have concerns about, you know, how well Sam Darnold can play, and can he get him the ball. I do think from arm talent and potentially he's an upgrade from Bridgewater, but I really just don't know at this point how good Darnold's going to be, because, you know, obviously the Jets are the Jets, so they may have just made him absolute trash over these last 2 to 3 years, but I'm really not sold on Darnold as of right now, and I'm really scared to have any kind of Carolina receiver in my starting lineup.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens, but definitely has the potential to be a wide receiver one if Darnold plays well and can get him the ball. Those are really your main strengths. Your biggest weaknesses for me are probably your running backs and your flex.
Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs, to me, are not the ideal starting running backs. They both have issues with injuries. Mixon missed a ton of games last year with injury. The Bengals have one of the worst offensive lines in the entire NFL and chose to take a receiver over an offensive lineman with their fifth pick, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Josh Jacobs is going to get poached by Kenyon Drake and obviously always goes into a week with an injury or a nagging injury. So that really concerns me. So I really am not in love with your running back, but obviously there is potential for upside and they both potentially can have solid RB2 numbers this year. And really that's going to be a win if you can get that from both of them, because you have such a great quarterback and such pretty solid receivers with Devontae and DJ Moore. But, you know, one encouraging thing I can say about Mixon is that I read that they brought back his O-line coach from his rookie year where he had his best season as a Bengal. So, and apparently Mixon has been begging for him to be back or was pissed that he left. So I don't need to tell you this because you're the Bengals fan, but that could be a sign of encouragement for this year and him having better numbers, but we'll have to wait and see. Hockenson, I don't really think he's a bad player. I'm not really sold on him being a strength or a weakness. I'm really neutral on him right now. By far the best option to throw to for Jared Goff this next year, but I'm definitely concerned that he will be the only option and every team will cut him out of, you know, being able to get a reception. So that is really one of my biggest concerns this year. But Hockenson, I think, is a fringe top five tight end this year. He definitely had a much improved season from his rookie year last year, but I'm just very neutral on him, and I don't know if he will, you know, have as great a season this year with how bad Detroit's gotten. Flex-wise, I think you have a little bit of depth to kind of throw in there. At flex, Gallup obviously is a solid wide receiver three for the Dallas Cowboys. I just wonder if they'll have any room for him to get the ball as much with CeeDee and Amari Cooper already there. But obviously, he's thrown up good games. I'm just worried that those games are going to be very hit and miss. You're not going to be able to predict when he's going to have one of those explosive games. Obviously, you can throw in Henderson in there. The running backs in LA is a huge toss-up, especially with adding Sony Michel. And Henderson's already got a thumb injury, which apparently Sean McVay has said that he has issues with staying healthy. So there is a concern with him being able to play out an entire NFL season. So I'm not really sold on him. Tonyan, I wonder if he's a very hit-and-miss guy. You know, he could be one of those guys, like I was talking earlier with Logan Thomas, where has a stellar season and then really regresses back to mean or does not put up the numbers he did last year. So that waits to be seen. Rager, hit and miss, depending on Jalen Hurts. And if he can finally, you know, live up to the potential of getting taken before Justin Jefferson, which I don't know if the Eagles will ever live that down. But James Conner, very fringe on the flex. Chase Edmonds gonna have to get injured, and he'll be very touchdown dependent. I really am not sold on James Conner, and apparently neither were the Steelers, so that's why they let him go. But if I'm rating your team this year, Huseman, I'm probably gonna give it a C+. I'm thinking you're probably gonna miss the playoffs this year. You're probably looking at a 4-5, maybe 6 win season. I'm just not sold with your team this year, and I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, you know, anything can happen, but I'm just not 100% sold with your team this year, and I'm thinking that you're probably going to end up missing the playoffs and having one of your worst seasons in the league. But only time will tell, and I'm wishing you good luck. But moving forward, we've got me for the last analysis. I've saved the best for last. Just kidding. But we'll have to see here just a second what I gave myself for ratings-wise. And I will not be biased. I will be, you know, honest with you guys about how I feel about my team this year. Obviously, the three-time champ, you know, that is more than two, Reed. So keep that in mind when you start talking trash all the time. But if I'm giving myself analysis, strengths are definitely going to be tight end, running backs, and quarterback. Tight end, obviously, George Kittle, top three tight end. And anytime you can get one of the top three to four tight ends, you've got a steal. Kittle has injury issues, so that is one of my biggest concerns with Kittle. Obviously, if he's healthy and he has solid quarterback play from Garoppolo or Lance, he's top two tight end without a question. And then running back-wise, I definitely think I have one of the two or three best running backs combinations this year with Henry and Najee Harris. I mean, I really don't think I can go wrong with those two guys. Definitely probably the most beefy running backs out there. Najee does have more pass-catching ability, but obviously Derrick Henry is just a freight train, and he's going to be very dependent on touchdowns and yards. He's not really a PPR kind of guy, but obviously he has the potential to catch some balls, but that's going to be really one of his weaknesses. Quarterback-wise, I think it's one of my strengths, but I'm not 100% sold on Lamar Jackson, especially with the Dobbins injury. I just don't know. I debated between him and Dak during the draft and ultimately went with Lamar just with injury issues to Dak. But I definitely think with getting Brady as a backup, I've really secured somebody who can step in and put up good QB1 fringe QB2 numbers if Lamar doesn't have a great season this year and continues to trend down, which I think is there is the potential for that to happen this year, especially with the injuries they've been having. And it's the third year he's running this offense, and I'm starting to wonder if he's going to end up being a little predictable for defenses. Obviously, he's talented, so they obviously have the potential. And when you're doing a rushing quarterback, you've got rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, which makes up for his lack of passing and passing touchdowns. So I think it's a strength, but I'm not 100% sold on it right now. And then weakness for me is definitely flex. I don't think it's a huge weakness, but I definitely think it's something where I'm not 100% sold on. Jerry Jeudy I took because I think he has the potential to have a breakout season. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is definitely an improvement over Drew Lock, so that is a positive for me. Odell as a flex, I think, has the potential. Obviously, he was one of the best wide receivers for 3 or 4 years straight, so the potential is there, but Cleveland is obviously a very heavy run first with pass after. So I really don't know. And with the injury from last year, I don't know how well Odell will bounce back. Neutral-wise, I'm really neutral on my receivers. I think CeeDee Lamb is destined for a great year this year. The talent is unreal. Not going to lie, I've been watching the Hard Knock episodes, and you know that's what sold me on taking him. He looks like he's going to be better than Cooper this year. Deontay Johnson, I think, is a sleeper this year. He does have some history of drops, which is a little concerning for me, but I do think he actually overtook Juju as the number one receiver on the Steelers. So I think that's actually a positive for me this year. And he'll be a sneaky pick for some solid wide receiver two numbers. So I'm very neutral. I don't think it's a weakness, but I don't necessarily think it's a strength until I see how they perform this season. Bench depth. I like Tom. I like Odell. Trey Sermon, Singletary, and Jones are all depth, but they're also going to be in committee systems. So it's really going to be dependent on does the other RB get injured or does one of these guys overtake the other running back as the starter in those teams that they're on. So I like my depth, but it's not a strength of mine. I think it's very neutral as well. So we'll really have to see how that pans out and if those guys can turn into solid starters for me or a flex rotation player. If I'm giving myself an honest analysis, I'm probably giving myself a B this year. You know, I think I've got some solid players, and I think when you've got great running backs, that does play a huge factor in how successful your team is. But I definitely don't think it's one of the most solid teams I've had in the league before. I think it's definitely going to be, we'll have to see how this goes this year, kind of year. But I think I do have the potential to have, you know, 7, 8, maybe 9 wins this year again. But time will tell. This team could be amazing. It could be terrible. With just like everybody else's teams, you know, I could be totally off the map with some of you guys' teams. But, you know, that concludes my draft analysis. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how everybody's teams do this year. Please don't take it personal if I called out your team. You know, I'm just giving my honest opinion, you know, and you probably don't care what it is anyway, but I'm giving it anyway for you guys to think about. I'm going to move forward to some matchups here in just a moment. But yes, this concludes my draft analysis for this year and how I feel about everybody's team moving forward into this 2021 season, guys. So stay tuned for some matchups from week one analysis. All right, boys, let's dive into some week one matchups. So first off, we're going to start with my matchup against Ben for week one. I am keeping in mind the J.K. Dobbins injury, so this is pretty current with, you know, what's happened recently. When we start looking from top to bottom and we look at QB matchups and QBs playing, Kyler Murray versus Lamar Jackson for week one. I've got it pretty even. I think both guys are playing weaker defenses this year. This first week. So I think they both are going to have a pretty easy matchup as far as points-wise go. When I look at the running backs, I think I've got a slight edge over Ben in this first week, especially with the matchups. Derrick Henry has definitely got an easier matchup against Arizona. They had one of the worst running defenses last year. And Najee's got a tough one against Buffalo, a little tougher. Clyde Edwards actually lit them up last year for a lot of yards. So maybe it's not as tough. We'll see if Buffalo's D is improved. But compared to Jones and Montgomery, who both play New Orleans and L.A., who both have really solid run defenses this year, I think I've definitely got a slight edge over Ben in the running back matchups. Wide receiver matchup, I've definitely got going to Ben. Cleveland had one of the worst pass defenses last year, and Tyreek, I think, is going to have an absolute absurd, you know, 20 points plus in week one. And then Brandon Ayuk, if he's healthy, Detroit is a joke. And I think he will carve them up for 15 plus at a minimum this next week. CD is playing a tough Tampa Bay secondary. I think he'll still put up some solid numbers, but I don't think he'll have a really massive game. And then Deontay is playing a tougher Buffalo defense from receiver point or standpoint. So I definitely give the edge to Ben in the receiver category. Tight end matchup, it's not even a question. I've got the edge, not even slight. It's 100% an edge for me. George Kittle is definitely far better than Noah Font or Fant. But also the matchup, Detroit's defense is atrocious. Kittle goes for minimum 12, probably upside 20. If he's, you know, stays healthy during the game. Font, New York's got actually a very slept on, underrated defense. I think he probably goes for right around what they project, you know, 6 to 7 points. So I definitely think I have the, you know, advantage at tight end. Flex wise, right now, Ben, you've got Gus Edwards in. I think he definitely has a great or easier matchup against Las Vegas. But I also think I'm not really sold on him yet. So I've got it pretty even right now. Jerry Jeudy is not like 100% going to have a great game. But I think from what I know about Gus Edwards and what I know about Jeudy, I'm pretty even on that right now. Maybe give you a very, very slight edge in the flex, but I think it's a very even matchup personally. Defenses, I've got a slight edge in my book. I think the Rams are definitely going to have a better week than Washington. Obviously, the Chargers are a much better team to play against, so I think that's going to be a tough one for Washington to have a good game against, whereas the Rams have Chicago, who start Andy Dalton, who will probably have a minimum of a pick six and a fumble, a strip sack. So I think I look for the Rams to have probably 15 to 16 points on defense, which I think gives me by far the edge on D. And then kicker-wise, you know, it's pretty tough to know how kickers are going to do. So I have it pretty even. I think they will definitely – Buffalo will definitely be kicking a bunch of field goals against Pittsburgh's D. But I also think Miami will be kicking a bunch of field goals against New England's D. So I'm not really sure. If we're going based off of who's the better kicker, last year Sanders had a better kicking year than Bass. But, you know, each week is hit and miss. So right now I've got it at even for both kickers. And then – if we're deciding a week one matchup winner, personally, I've got me slightly beating you with a 125 to 118. I really do think that running backs are going to play a huge difference in this outcome and defense. I'm looking for Henry and Najee to really carry my team, and I think the Rams defense is going to put up some solid numbers, which I think will be a little too much for your team to overcome, which is why I've got myself slightly beating you at 125 to 118. But we'll see what happens. But that's how I've got our matchup for this first week going. Moving on, I've got Joe versus Wayne, so Mr. Make It Hurts, and Big Johnson. When we're breaking it down, quarterback matchups, I've got a slight edge to Wayne, with Rodgers outplaying Tannehill. Tannehill, I think, has a slightly harder matchup, but also Aaron Rodgers is better than Tannehill. And I think it's going to be a much more competitive game against New Orleans. So I do have to give a slight edge to Rodgers in that category. Running back-wise, I got to give the edge to Wayne. You have better offenses, and you've got much easier opponents. I mean, my lord, Dalvin Cook is going to have a heyday against Cincinnati. And then Clyde Edwards should have 15 minimum against Cleveland's poorest defense. I don't really like your matchups, Joe, for running back. Seattle actually has quite underrated run D. And I'm not really sold on how they're going to do with Carson Wentz out and now T.Y. Hilton out. So I'm not really looking for him to have a great game. Chase Edmonds, still not really sold. Titans do have a weaker defense, but like I said, if we're going running back matchups, I definitely have to give the edge to Wayne this week. Wide receiver-wise, I think it's pretty even. Both of you guys have really tough opponents. A.J. Brown, Arizona's not a horrible defense to play against. Allen Robinson's got Jalen Ramsey, probably going to lock him down for most of next week. So I think that really hurts you, Joe. DK, India's no walk in the park. And then Robert Woods has to play Chicago, who also has a pretty solid secondary, which to me makes it very even. Both of you guys have very tough matchups for week one at receiver-wise. Tight end, I had the edge to Joe just strictly on the fact that Kelsey is head and shoulders above Goddard. Both are playing pretty poor defenses, Atlanta for Dallas Goedert and Cleveland for Kelsey, but the advantage to me is always going to be Kelsey. He's just got way higher upside. So, Joe, you get that one. Flex-wise, I'm giving the slight edge to Joe. Chris Godwin, I think, is a better flex option than Thielen, even though Thielen does have Cincinnati. Godwin does have Dallas. both of those defenses are atrocious. So I definitely have to give the slight edge to Godwin just because I think he has a better offense and a better quarterback. Defense-wise, I definitely got to give the edge to Wayne. I look for the 49ers to have an absolutely insane week against Detroit. I think they go for over 20, which I think is going to be a big factor. And then the Broncos have New York. Daniel Jones is bound to have two fumbles at least. So I think they'll have a pretty solid game, but New York's definitely a much harder team than Detroit. And the Broncos defense, I'm not 100% sold on yet. Kicking wise, I do have a slight edge with Butker against Myers. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty high scoring game against Cleveland, and Butker's a better kicker personally. But like I said, in the other matchups, kicker is a toss up. You really don't know what's going to happen. But right now I've got a slight edge to Butker. All right, who's going to win? Right now, I've definitely got Wayne winning this next week. I think it actually will be a pretty big win for Wayne. Wayne, I'm looking for Cook and the 49ers D to carry your team. 49ers D should probably have about 20-plus points, and I look for Cook to have close to 30, if not 30, against Cincinnati's terrible defense. So ultimately, I think you'll pull away 120 to 105 against Joe, putting Joe at 0-1 to start. But we'll have to wait and see what happens, guys. But that's how I got this one ranked and matched up for week one. All right, moving forward to the next matchup. I've got Mr. New Year, New Jards versus Glack Zlatan. Glack, it's either Black or Glack. I have no idea, Cam. I know that's Zlatan, but I really have no idea what that's supposed to mean on the front end. But anyway, moving forward with the actual matchup, I've definitely got QB matchup, slight edge to Cam. Obviously, Russell Wilson is the better quarterback, but I'm doing this strictly based off of opponent. Jalen Hurts has a much easier defense to play against in Atlanta. Indy was a top three defense last year. Obviously, that changes year to year, but much tougher opponent. So I do look for Hurts to have a better week, just slightly. Running back-wise, I'm going to say it's pretty even, actually. MCC, I think, is going to pick up a lot of slack. He's going to go for over 30. Jets defense, atrocious. Definitely going for over 30 points. Kareem Hunt, Kansas City's defense wasn't amazing last year. They're mid-pack average, but like I said, Chubb's the number one guy. So I think his projection's pretty accurate, probably around 10 points. Zeke and Antonio Gibson. Zeke does have a pretty tough matchup against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got a pretty solid defense to run against. The Chargers were very hit and miss on defense last year. I think Gibson will have a pretty good week. Receiver-wise, you definitely have the slight advantage, Jordan, just based off of easier matchups. Terry McLaurin plays an average Chargers defense. Justin Jefferson plays a very below-average Cincinnati Bengals secondary, whereas Tyler Lockett has to play a pretty solid Indy defense. And then Julio Jones plays a mediocre to average Arizona, but I think ultimately you definitely have better matchups. So I'm giving you the slight edge in receiver category. Tight end-wise, I'm giving a slight edge to Jordan. Just based off of the fact that it's Mark Andrews and Las Vegas has a very mid-tier, mediocre defense. So I definitely think he's better than Mike Gesicki, and New England has always had a pretty solid to above-average defense. So I definitely think that's going to be a very tough matchup for Gesicki in week one. So I'm giving you the edge in tight end, Jordan. Flex, I'm definitely giving the edge to Cam by a mile. James Robinson's going to play probably top two worst defense this year in Houston. And I think he's bound to score his 14 projected, if not more, in week one, especially with Travis Etienne now out. Jamar Chase plays a, you know, average Minnesota secondary. He probably will score more than his 7.6, but really not by much, definitely not in a week one. So we'll have to see what happens, but I think right now the edge is for sure on James Robinson in the flex. Defense-wise, I've definitely got to give the edge to nobody, actually. It's pretty even. The Bills D plays against Pittsburgh, which I think is a very tough matchup for Jarrett at defense. And then the Dolphins play New England, which I actually think will be a pretty hard actual team to beat for the Dolphins. So I anticipate that New England will actually put up a decent amount of points on them in week one. So I have it pretty even as far as how many points each defense is going to get for them. Kicker-wise, as I've already stated, kickers are tough to judge, but I'm going to give the edge to Justin Tucker for yards just because it's Justin Tucker and he's far more reliable, and I think they're going to put up a lot of points against Las Vegas and have better territory to kick field goals, whereas Zuerlein probably could put up some points, but with the injury and questionability of him, I'm not 100% sold on how accurate or how well he's going to play. So I'm definitely going to give an edge to Justin Tucker as of right now. Projected-wise, who's going to win? I actually think Jordan's going to walk away with a week one win. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be too much for Cam's team to handle. He's going to go for over 30 against the Jets defense, which I just think is going to be too much. And I think Jarrett has probably one of his best weeks in fantasy football, week one, and he goes for 130, and Cam goes for 118 in week one. So that's probably my upset pick for this week. I think Jordan is going to be the upset against Cam, but, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But right now I got Jordan upsetting Cam 130 to 118. Moving forward, I've got the matchup of Reed and Austin for week one, and we both know how much they love each other, so this will be a great week one matchup for somebody to talk trash after the end of the week. But right now, QB-wise, I've got the edge to Reed. Reed's just got the better quarterback. I do think that Josh Allen is playing the toughest defense in the league right now. So I definitely think that's going to be pretty tough for him, but I still look for him to outscore Herbert. Washington's no walk in the park, so I'm definitely giving the edge to Reed for quarterback play and teams they're playing against. Running back-wise, I've got to give the slight edge to Reed just with easier matchups. KC has a very average defense, very average run D. Miles Sanders is playing Atlanta, very average to below average run defense. Kamara is playing Green Bay, very solid defense. I think the running game was probably their weakest spot last year, so that does poise Kamara for a upside and having, you know, being able to keep at least his 15.2 projection. Eckler plays a very tough Washington D week one, so I'm going to have to give the edge to Reed just slightly, just based off of easier matchups. Receiver-wise, even though I think, you know, both are solid receiving cores with easy and tough matchups, I'm going to have to stick with even. Yeah, even for both. Ridley's got a pretty easy matchup against Philly secondary. Keenan Allen will probably have a tougher matchup against Washington in week one. Stephon Diggs has no walk in the park against Pittsburgh's D. And Mike Evans should have a walk in the park against Dallas's D. So both teams have a easy matchup and a very hard matchup on defense. So I got to rate it even there. Tight end-wise, definitely got to give the edge to Reed. Kyle Pitts has definitely an easier matchup against Philly. And definitely has more upside than Logan Thomas this year. So I'm going to give the edge to Reed there. Flex-wise, I'm definitely giving the edge to Reed as well. Reed has an easier matchup against Detroit. I look for Mostert to definitely get his projection if he stays healthy, probably even go above that. Cooper Kupp has definitely got a really tough matchup against Chicago. So I definitely have to give the edge to Reed and Mostert. Defense-wise, I think it's pretty even. Both of you guys have good defenses. And they're both going to face pretty tough matchups. Las Vegas is definitely no walk in the park. And then Dallas is definitely going to put up points. So I definitely have to rate it pretty even as far as both defenses are probably going to have very low scoring weeks. So I don't really look for that to be a factor for either team. Kicking wise, Reed has the slight edge. No, scratch that. Sorry. Austin has a slight edge. Graham Gano is playing Denver in Mile High. Well, actually, no. They're playing in New York, but I think Denver's got a pretty decent defense, and I don't think New York knows how to score touchdowns. So I'm going to give this one to Austin with Graham Gano having a slight edge over Matt Prater. Matt Prater is getting well beyond his years, and I just don't know if he's going to kick a lot of field goals against Tennessee. I think they're going to put up some points, but I just don't know if he'll put up the same amount of points as Graham Gano. I think New York's going to be kicking a lot of field goals in week one. But as far as winner goes, I think Reed actually runs away with this one. Sorry, Austin. I think Reed with Chubb and Mostert are going to have amazing 20-plus point games. And it'll just be too much for your team, Austin. So I got Reed right now at 135 to 111 in this week one matchup. And Reed will definitely be talking a whole lot of crap to you for probably the rest of the year, at least until your next matchup. But best of luck to both of you guys. And moving forward to our last matchup that we've got. We've got good old Eagles trade block versus Wade's dad. So Carter and Huseman. And then if we take a look here at quarterback matchup, the edge is definitely going to go to Huseman. Patrick Mahomes is better than Dak. And then they got an easier matchup for sure against Cleveland compared to Tampa Bay, who Dak's got to play against. Then when we look at the running backs, I'm giving a slight edge, even though I don't love Huseman's running backs. I'm giving him a slight edge over Carter's. Denver has a very underrated defense, especially run defense, especially with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb healthy. And they got a pretty solid front line. So I think that's going to be a pretty tough matchup for Saquon, even if he is healthy. Chris Carson does not play a porous run D from Indy, especially week one. So I think that's going to be pretty tough for Chris Carson. And then I really love Josh Jacobs to have some pretty solid numbers against Baltimore. And Minnesota does not have a amazing run defense. So I'm expecting Huseman to have the slight edge over Carter's running backs just based off opponents, not actual talent itself. When we look at the receivers, I got to give it pretty much even for this week one. Both have a tough matchup and an easier matchup. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to go bananas against Tennessee's secondary. Cooper will have a pretty tough time against Tampa Bay, whereas Devontae will have a tough matchup against New Orleans, but DJ Moore should have a walk in the park if Sam Darnold can find him against New York's defense. So I have a pretty even there just based off of matchups. Then we look at tight end. I've got a advantage to Carter just based off of the fact that Waller's a better tight end than Hockenson, and they both got pretty tough matchups. But yeah, I'm gonna base it off of who's better and the fact that Waller's the number one target in Las Vegas and they got a better quarterback and other players that can play. So yeah, I definitely got to give this one to Waller and the advantage. We look at the flex. I got to give it to Huseman. He's got an easier matchup than Carter does. based off of what I'm seeing. Well, actually, scratch that. I think Huseman changed it from the last time I did analysis. Gallup's got a pretty tough matchup against Tampa Bay. He does have some upside. Mike Davis probably is playing a decent to solid Philly run D. Actually, I'm going to switch my position and I'm going to call it pretty even. I'm really not sold on Mike Davis, but Michael Gallup is very going to be hit and miss. So I'm going to put it even, very even. We move to defense. Even though both Ds have tough matchups and probably shouldn't start either one, if we are looking, yeah, I'm going to say it's pretty even. Miami definitely has the easier one as far as if Cam Newton or Mac Jones starts, definitely the easier matchup to get points against. Steelers D is great, but week one matchup against Buffalo is tough. So I really think they're both going to be pretty neutral. So I'm going to keep it even for both defenses. Kicker, let's see. Slight edge to Carter. Love me some Younghoe Koo. But I think Matt Gay and LA is going to be kicking a lot of field goals against Chicago because Chicago has a tougher defense. So I got to give a slight edge to Matt Gay, even though I know Matt Ryan loves kicking field goals too. I definitely think that's going to be a game where Matt Gay gets a lot of opportunities to kick field goals. So I'm giving a slight edge to Carter. As far as who's going to win this matchup, I got to give a slight edge to Huseman. I'm surprised I'm saying this, but just based off of matchups, week one, I think Huseman's got the advantage here. So I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a heyday against Cleveland, which will be the big reason that they win. So I think Patrick Mahomes goes for over 40 fantasy points week one, which I think ends up being enough to carry Huseman over Carter for a 123 to 119 win. So we'll have to wait and see, guys, with all these matchups. Obviously, this is just my thoughts on these matchups, and we'll have to wait and see who comes out victorious week one. But that is my analysis on matchups for week one. And then stay tuned for a short segment on some waiver wire additions or guys who are currently not on rosters who definitely have some upside this year. All right, boys, let's take a quick look at some waiver wire pickups. I'm going to give about one or two maybe players that I'm looking at right now on the waiver wire that could be very usable in week one or could be great stashes for the entire season. So let's get started. At quarterback, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be my pick. I think especially in week one against the Houston defense, if you don't have a solid QB right now starting, I definitely think that is a great pickup. And personally, I think he's a great long-term stash. We saw how good Justin Herbert was last year, and that wasn't even predicted. Trevor Lawrence has shown great poise in the pocket and the ability to play really well during the preseason. Obviously, that's the preseason, but I expect Trevor Lawrence to have a pretty decent season this year. So he's definitely worth a stash if you need a backup quarterback moving forward. Running back-wise, I think Nyheim Hines is really a stealthy kind of player who goes under the radar. Him and JD McKissic are both available right now in our league, and they're both very similar players. But I do like the upside of the Colts offense compared to the Washington football team's offense. So I really do think he could be a very sneaky pick or guy to have on your backups. He did actually post a top 20 running back season last year, and that was as him as a scat back. So definitely somebody worth stashing or looking into. He has a semi-decent matchup against Seattle this week, but I think long term, when you've got Houston and the Titans as your matchups for four out of your 17 games, that's definitely worth a stash. At wide receiver, I'm currently going to have to go with Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, I think, is very stealthy and underrated for this year.
I think he definitely has the capability to have a breakout season. The Jets' offense doesn't really have a lot of targets. Corey Davis is the number one receiver, but I think Elijah Moore is somebody who's definitely a sleeper and could be a possible candidate for Rookie of the Year just based on how well the Jets perform this year. At tight end, I'm going to have to go with Irv Smith Jr. or O.J. Howard. I think both of those guys are being slept on a bit. The Vikings don't really have a tight end other than Irv Smith Jr. Now, he is listed as doubtful for the moment, but he's definitely a sneaky contender. Once he misses the first or second game after that, he could be somebody who really has a top 10 fantasy year. O.J. Howard, I think, is really being slept on. During his first 4 weeks last year, he was having, you know, top 10, top 15 fantasy production at the tight end spot. Health concerns are always an issue for him, but everybody's kind of forgotten his name, and he's definitely somebody out there who, if you don't have a solid tight end right now, could definitely end up being somebody you pick up down the road. Because I just don't think Gronk is really the same Gronk of the past. So he's definitely going to get opportunity while he's in that offense. Flex, I'm going to have to go with Mecole Hardman right now. There are a bunch of wide receivers out there, but I really think he's poised for a breakout season this year, especially with Sammy Watkins finally out of the offense. I think he's better than DeMarcus Robinson personally, and he's definitely better than Brian Pringle. So I definitely think he's going to be the number two receiver in that offense. With Tyreek on the other side, he's definitely going to get the easier cornerback matchups. So I think he's definitely primed for a great season this year and somebody to definitely keep an eye on moving forward. Defense-wise, I'm going to have to go with the Panthers or the Packers, especially for week one. The Panthers play the New York Jets, who really, we don't really know how good or bad their offense is going to be this year. So that could be a sneaky pick where the Panthers, you know, play them pretty well and have a good outcome as far as point-wise this week. And the Panthers surprisingly don't have a terrible defense, and they added a cornerback with their first pick in the draft. So I only see them getting better on defense this year. And then Green Bay had a pretty stout defense, finished top 10 last year in points. And I think they returned most of the same guys. They did struggle with the run, which could pose a problem for Kamara, who they play the Saints in week one. So he could get a lot of yardage against them. But with Jameis Winston, there's always the potential that he throws a pick six or two or three interceptions. So definitely somebody to consider streaming, or defense consider streaming week one. And then long-term potentially, because they do play the Lions, Vikings, and Bears, which I see as potentially being all pretty high point finishes this year. When it comes to kicker's really tough. It's all based on, you know, how a team is doing and then, you know, how many field goals a team is attempting during a year. But I think Rodrigo Blankenship is still somebody out there who has the potential to kick a lot of field goals, and we'll have a team that is going to be in, you know, field goal position or scoring touchdowns most of the year. So if you've got somebody kind of shaky on your team right now, or you're not sold on, I definitely think he's somebody to consider picking up for the long term. All right, guys, that kind of concludes my waiver wire and my entire podcast. This was a little longer than it's probably going to be in the future, just because I did, you know, draft analysis. Usually it's probably going to be more of a waiver wire and matchup look for each week. So don't expect it to be this long. This is kind of just a jump into what the season's going to look like. But I've had a blast talking to you guys today and giving you my insight. I hope you guys enjoy this. And let me know what you think when you hear this. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and good luck in your matchups.